I've tried over 600 plus beans.
Today, I want to talk about one of my favorite things in the world, coffee. I love coffee.
Thinking about where it comes from, the quality and the craft.
I've tried a lot of hobbies. Now, I'm on the hunt for my next hobby, some common, some not so much. This week, all things coffee. You're listening to That's a Hobby. This week, I grind some medium roast beans, fine, but not too fine. I get the water the exact right temperature, and I use one of the many coffee brewing techniques to try to make the perfect cup of coffee.
I probably spent 200 hours working on my grinder.
It all starts with the smell. To me, the most important part of coffee is its smell. I think it's everyone's first introduction to it. Being in Ranyon, my family is a tea-drinking family, so I didn't grow up around the smell. When we immigrated to Canada, I smelled it for the first time. It was in the hallway of the first school I attended. To this day, I associate the smell of coffee with school. Knowing what I know about teaching and the energy it takes, it's a pretty accurate association. The smell and the school setting immediately connected the feeling of comfort and safety with coffee. Unfortunately, the taste of coffee took a lot longer to form a positive connection. It was only in my early 20s when I started drinking coffee semi-regularly, when I saw the majority of the university classes filled with to-go cups. It took a lot of cream and sugar, or what we call a double-double, for me to tolerate it.
You might like the most popular type of coffee at Tim Hortons, and this is the Double Double. This is a coffee with two milk and two cream, and you'll see the Double Double is actually trademarked by Tim Hortons, and it's an actual word in the Canadian Oxford Dictionary. It was added in 2004.
I would buy coffee, or more accurately, drinks that contain coffee and a lot of other things, when someone I was with ordered it.
We put coffee in everything. Ice cream, cake, alcohol, cigars.
It was really a social thing. This all changed when I went to Cuba.
Vivo como un prisionero, clamo de mi antojo. Y como si fuera poco.
As a Canadian, going to an all-inclusive for a week in Cuba should be a condition of citizenship. Since Cuba is the rare Canadian vacation destination where there are no Americans, we have a mixed sense of ownership, pride, and there's a lot of cost-effective opportunities to travel. Cuba is characterized by a few things. One, it's fantastic weather and crystal clear, calm beaches. Two, the Cuban hospitality. And three, the food and its, quote, funny taste. The food is basically the main criticism you'll find on TripAdvisor about Cuba. Cuba is somewhat of a closed economy since it doesn't have access to a lot of products we're used to, including off-the-shelf foods, animal feed, and agriculture. What this means is that you won't find foods that are difficult to grow or that aren't popular with the locals, like ketchup or peanut butter. If that's important to you and you can't enjoy yourself for a week without it, you can pack your own. If you're interested in what food can taste like, if it's not factory farmed and without homogenized agriculture, you're in for a treat. It is in Cuba I feel that I tasted coffee for the first time. Drinking coffee with every meal is part of Cuban culture. So when we traveled down there, we did as Cubans do and had more coffee than we usually did. Rum is also a big part of their social culture, but that's a different episode. Coffee is so important to the Cuban culture, it's part of their monthly rations along with beans and rice. Cuban coffee is known to be dark, rich, and sweet. Because milk is in short supply, it's not typically part of their coffee. But there's a lot of sugar from sugar canes, so sugar is a big part of their coffee. It's not a surprise that the most popular coffee drink in Cuba is a form of espresso with sugar in the pull, not put in afterwards. While it was still sweet like the Double Double I was used to, without the milk, the taste of the beans had a chance to stand out. And they did. Couple the taste with the smell of the beans and the smoke from the campfires where the pots of coffee were brewed, I was sold and hooked on coffee. When I came home, I started experimenting with coffee. It still kind of tasted burnt to me, so I had to use milk or cream to take the edge off. Over time, I slowly reduced the amount of milk and cream and the types of pre-ground beans till I got a brew that I could drink black, or what I considered real coffee. Equipment-wise, I use and still use a popular Cuisinart drip coffee maker that we got for free through a credit card reward program. Then came the French press. Another free coffee machine, this time free gift given to attendees of a wedding show. The French press was invented in the mid-1800s, but really became popular in the last 60 years or so, after its use in a Michael Caine movie, and with the rise of the Danish kitchenware company Bodum. In fact, the French press we were given was a bright orange Bodum French press. The French press is very simple. You add coffee grounds to the bottom, pour over hot water, let it sit for a few minutes, and press a plunger down, trapping the grounds at the bottom. This kick-started my journey for the best pure cup of coffee. By pure, I mean using minimalist equipment like I had seen in Cuba.
This is how to get incredible results with a French press.
Once I started researching how to use a French press, I was led to grinding my own beans. The grind is probably the most important aspect to a good cup of coffee.
You need to get some delicious coffee. Delicious means fresh, like freshly roasted, and you're going to grind it fresh if you want the best possible experience. This will work with pre-ground coffee, but it won't taste as good as it could. So grind fresh.
A good cup of coffee is somewhat subjective, but consistency is a common metric. If the grounds are not a consistent size, the flavor of your coffee will be unpredictable. For consistent grounds, you need a burr grinder. A burr grinder cuts beans rather than smashing them like a blade grinder. So I got a Cespresso burr grinder from Costco and got to grinding. Grinding your own beans has another advantage. Because it takes more effort to make, each cup of coffee is more satisfying. It has the same fulfillment as making other things by hand, like pasta or baking. For me, I got to enjoy the smell longer, and then there's the anticipation of freshly ground and brewed coffee. Soon, I was grinding my own beans daily and carrying around a French press at the office. Like with raising cars with autocross and meditation breakthroughs through isolation tanks, a gift from my wife took this hobby to a new level. She bought me a Bodum pour-over coffee pot, or Chemex.
Icons of coffee, classics in the field, things that have endured. And I can think of nothing better to start us off with than the Chemex coffee maker.
The Chemex was invented in 1941 in the States and has been called one of the best designed products of the modern time. It's included in a collection at the Museum of Modern Art, or MoMA, in New York City. The Chemex has an hourglass shape and is made of glass. It usually has a heat-proof wooden collar in the middle, bound by a leather strap. It is perfectly modern and organic-looking. It can be spotted in pop culture, including Ian Fleming's 1957 James Bond book, From Russia with Love, to the 1968 movie Rosemary's Baby, to the show Friends, and obviously, Don Draper's kitchen in Mad Men. It has a proprietary, thicker filter that sits on the top and is set to capture more of the oils to produce a cleaner coffee with more caffeine and that is less bitter. The grounds are coarse, like kosher salt. Hot water is slowly poured over the grounds, hence the name, and the coffee sits at the bottom half of the pot. There's a spout to allow air to escape. There are all sorts of tips and tricks, including blooming the grounds by pouring just a little at first and allowing the grounds to open up.
In the past, it's been like all about brewing. Now we're dialing in coffees to minute levels where we're measuring TDS on everything and extraction levels and trying to get water to extract coffee correctly.
Using a pour-over coffee maker is a lot less passive than a French press. While you still have to grind beans and heat water for the French press, you don't just dump water and wait. With the pour-over maker, you bloom the grounds, you wait and watch. You slowly pour the rest of water so you don't overflow the funnel. You wait and watch some more. From start to finish, it can easily take 15 minutes to make one cup of coffee. The process of making coffee is kind of half the joy. You experiment with the grind size, the blooming time, and the water temperature. Throw in different bean types and you have yourself somewhat of a complex hobby.
Manual pour, machine pour, percolator, espresso machine, siphon pot, AeroPress, French press.
I haven't even gotten into the world of espressos and everything that entails. As you can tell, I love coffee. I drink coffee out of habit, when I need energy to make it through some days, when I want to reward myself, and when I feel like taking my time to make something a little special.
In 2017, 1 in 3 young Americans spent more money on coffee than they invested, which totally makes sense. We're never going to be able to retire anyways.
I love all different types of coffee brewing techniques. I brew a pot traditionally in the morning. I use a French press and leave it on my desk when I know I'll need bigger than normal supply of coffee. And I use a pour-over pot on weekends when I know the coffee will have my full attention. It's also an accessible hobby, with plenty of YouTube videos and communities of coffee lovers. And like some other hobbies, coffee snobs. Coffee as a hobby is one where your friends and family can reap the benefits. And I also love the simplicity of this hobby. Neither the French press nor the pour-over pot costs a lot. And I won't feel guilty when I buy the AeroPress or stovetop Miko coffee maker. That is, if my wife doesn't buy them for me first. Hey, listen, I want you to know that your time is valuable to me, and the fact that you spent it listening means a lot, so thank you. Please remember to subscribe wherever you listen, and maybe tell a friend or two. If you've tried this hobby or you have hobby ideas for me, let me know on Twitter or Instagram. See you next week.